Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning and welcome back to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci and myself. Another Sunday morning here on 92.9 WBPM, and we've got another edition of Why Are You Looking At Me Like That? That is a rather funny look. Pesky.
After a change, it's not me.
Yeah, I don't know. Because he's not usually looking at me when he's saying good morning, welcome to our amazing show.
But yes, we've got another edition of Happy Hour here with the ladies, and I hope you are enjoying your Sunday morning. And we've got a pretty good guest coming today, right, too?
I love her. Aww. She's going to be my new best friend, and she doesn't know it yet.
She'll find out in about 20 minutes or so.
Yep. Your second new best
friend. Unfortunately, though, I found out
friend.
She's on the West Coast, so not going to be too easy to stalk her into being my friend.
Well, maybe if she gets up really early, then she'll be stalkable because it's a three-hour time difference. So
by phone, but if I want to hang out with her, that's an issue.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, not necessarily. You could Skype together.
How many Skype friends do you have, Frankenberry?
I don't even know why people FaceTime. Like, if you're in the same state, don't FaceTime. Like, all the Real Housewives, they FaceTime each other all the time.
Because it makes for TV.
But what if they do that when the cameras aren't running?
I doubt it.
Like, well, I don't want to. Sometimes I look like crap. I don't want you to see me.
I FaceTime my mother. She's really the only person I FaceTime.
She doesn't live in the same state as you no more.
Correction. I FaceTime the top half of my mother's face.
You FaceTime her eyebrows and sometimes an eyeball.
No, usually from the nose up.
Oh, okay.
She holds her phone so close that I have a conversation with her nose and eyes. Which, you know, I get the gist.
I don't FaceTime. I'm assuming I can't even FaceTime, right?
You can probably Skype from there. You don't have a...
I've got an Android.
Yeah, there's got to be phone. Some sort of...
I don't know. So anyway, our guest today, Jonna.
Oh, so I'm very excited. Our guest today is a psychotherapist named Lori Gottlieb, who's got a book right now on the New York Times bestseller list. And it is going to be fascinating, entertaining, and inspiring, I think, all rolled up into one.
Are we going to have to get on the couch? Are we going to learn stuff about ourselves?
Maybe we will.
Know?
Well, it's called Maybe You Should Talk to Someone.
Which I think is funny. That's a funny title. Because she happens to be a psychotherapist.
Right. And then she talks about the human side of being a psychotherapist and some of her stories and how she goes to therapy. So, and she's funny.
Yeah.
And smart.
She's kind of flipping the script, which
she's
I think is a genius idea for this book.
She's your sister from another mister.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think, we'll talk to her about that. But before we get to that.
We've got Jonna's stuff.
She's got something to.
I have good news, bad news.
Oh, here we go again.
Did we do good news, bad news last week?
Something like that.
Okay. We did.
I feel like it's Groundhog Day.
No, last week we did, like, funny, not funny. This week is good news, bad news.
Okay.
Okay, all right. So go with bad news.
I'm going to go with the good news.
Oh. Okay.
Good news is...
So we're on the down escalator. Go ahead.
I am proceeding nicely on my journey de weight loss.
Oh.
Because I'm down officially 13 pounds.
Yes,
good
I did see you. I did see you earlier in the week with Woodman K104, and you mentioned, 12 pounds?
Yes.
Then, I don't know if you've lost any more since.
You know, I'm losing, you know, a hamburger a day. I guess, quarter pound.
A 1 pound
day.
Oh, I see. Gotcha. Okay. Good for you.
So that's good. Yeah, I still have a little bit more to go. The bad news is I think I have officially hit an all-time low in another piece of my life.
Uh-oh.
Sounds dramatic. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Pretty heavy stuff here. Are we ready, audience?
Did you get mad at your man for changing the TV channel too many times again?
No. I am officially... a sleep shopper. And that's dangerous.
What? What's a sleep shopper?
Are you ordering stuff while you're asleep, like sleepwalking?
I'm ordering stuff when I should be sleeping, but I'm not sleeping. So to try to get myself to go back to sleep...
You buy things.
I go online and I shop until I fall asleep. I'm not window shopping, guys. I'm actually credit card... purchasing. I'm making late night, exhausted yet cannot sleep purchases.
From stuff you're finding on TV?
From stuff that I'm being bombarded with in my inbox and on the Facebook.
The Facebook.
I think I have a lawsuit. Yeah. Or
a sickness.
Plus this. You know, here's the thing, guys. We are being so... Okay. Last couple weeks ago, I was telling you guys, I was at this new mall. I was on... I took a picture of Neiman Marcus is one of the stores at this new mall. I love this new mall. I take a picture of the Neiman Marcus and I make a joke and I go, oh, I love this new mall smell. That's all I said. Picture, Facebook. Guess what now? All I get is Neiman Marcus. Buy this, buy this, buy this. Every time I'm on the Facebook. So the other night, I cannot sleep. I'm up for like 2.5 hours from midnight to 2:30 in the morning. I cannot sleep. So I get on the Facebook and Neiman Marcus is like, buy something, buy something, buy something. I bought a purse.
And she's in the early stages, by the way.
You're going to need...
She's at blame right now.
And I think the next type of industry, if they were smart in their analytics that would be marketing to her, would be a storage facility.
Yes. Yes. Very good point.
And team one is 1 point.
She is going to need one.
And you know what? Because you two just said that, and my phone is listening to us,
Guardian Self Storage is going to be up there in 5 minutes.
It's going to be my next ad that's fed to me.
Well, here's my question for you. Now... Maybe it's just me, but I, except for that one time where I joked with you on Facebook about why a Winnebago, like a 1978 Winnebago, is popping up on the right-hand side of my Facebook page, I have never actually noticed an ad on Facebook. They don't occur to me. I don't look
You're
at them.
You're not on it that much.
Well, I'm certainly not on it as much as you are, no. But I just don't notice them.
I don't even think it's that. You know what I think it is? I think we don't even realize the extent to which the government, the Facebooks,
the
Twitters have their tentacles inside our what? Like somewhere in a data bank or a cave, either one. There is a dossier.
Barney Rubble's looking at your purchase history.
There is a dossier on me.
Oh yeah.
And they know my spending habits, my spending times, what I like, what I don't like, what I return. And they
There's like an alarm going off right now. Whoop, whoop. We got a hot one.
Hot one here. And at 1:30 in the morning, I wouldn't be surprised if it gets to the extent that the reason why I'm up from midnight to 3, like I just think, oh, insomnia. They probably have some weird little thing that, like a dog whistle that you can't hear that comes through your TV or your phone. They're like, this is when she spends the most money, guys. Let's wake her up. I'm not kidding. And you think that's all 1984 weird stuff. It's happening. I didn't need a $400 purse at 1 o'clock in the morning. Tell me why at 1 o'clock in the morning did I need to buy a $400 purse because A, I couldn't sleep, and B, Neiman Marcus was giving me a 20% off coupon.
Can you pause credit cards without canceling them? Can you have like blackout periods where your credit cards won't work?
I don't know.
Maybe we need to put that in place for you.
I don't know.
And technology and your phone and internet are not what you should be doing when you're having trouble sleeping.
And I was
That's
thinking
stimulation.
That.
You're not supposed to be doing that.
You know what you should actually try to do? Change things up completely?
Actually. What should I try to do?
Seriously, just pick up a book. An actual book, not an audio book.
Listen to one. Read one.
Yeah, give yourself and maybe not even a self help book. Change it up. Do some fiction.
Yep.
Something that's going to get you immersed in a story and also change up the routine.
Here's the trouble, though. So mildly boring is good to help a person fall asleep. But with her, there's going to be this very fine line that if it's mildly boring, but if it becomes too boring, it will make her angry.
Good point.
And then she's going to get wound up and not be able to sleep. Do I know you?
That is an excellent point.
And then it's a $600 purse instead of $400.
I'm going to tell you the real problem with your solution. The real problem with your solution
one.
Is
keep bumping
I have been angry. I've been angry now for probably a decade.
And did it take you a decade of therapy to be able to say, I am angry?
No, but maybe I might get some free therapy in about 15 minutes.
Now watch the next ad you're going to get on your phone.
Yeah. I am angry because reading has become a physical pain in my petard because I need glasses to do it. And I don't know what kind of weird thing, eye vapor, I give off. But no matter how strong I make my reading glasses, I get my eyelashes, I guess, get mascara all over them, my hairspray from putting them on my head. I don't know. But within 2 minutes of having reading glasses on, they are blurry. And it's not like the vision. It's the actual glass. So I'm constantly cleaning the glasses, putting back on. Oh, this is nice. 2 minutes later, I got to do the same thing again. So now I don't like reading because reading has become a labor.
So how do you make it through a day as a lawyer? Because I'm just going to take a shot in the dark, but it probably involves a little bit of such.
And that's why I am pissed off 40 to 50 hours a week. No, seriously.
Dirty glasses.
That's what, dirty glasses, but at least like so things online, my screens are nice and big, so I don't need the glasses. And I have, you guys know, this is kind of funny. You know, I do some work for some other TV stations, not like the typical Fox, which is live, but stuff where I actually sometimes have to read a script, and I will take the script that they send me, and I will copy and paste it into a Word document.
80 font.
And I will do 72 font, and I will bring that with me. And I've told them, people that are there, they get it. And I'll be like, here's a piece of tape. Here's that script page. You hold that so I can see it in case I need to. I have a disability. I have a handicap.
So are you going to get the oversized button phone sometime soon?
Are you? Did you just laugh at that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, I did.
No.
That was good.
I'm going to get the oversized, continually 30-something-year-old, handsome millennial to do my phone stuff for me.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
You're going to have, instead of a pool boy, you're going to have a phone boy.
A phone boy.
Okay.
Because what they really need is they need that eye surgery that everybody has to see far away. They need one of those surgeries for those who need to read.
Do they do that?
They don't. They do not. Well, if there's any eye doctors listening and they do, call us.
Right. As far as I know.
All of a sudden it's us. We all need this now.
It's all our part of her pain. Because I don't like it, and that's why I don't. But, you know, when you're laying in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, at night, TV blaring, and you know, you can enlarge your screen, it's a perfect storm for buying crap you don't need.
Why don't you start your Christmas shopping, and then you'll be done. Like, be productive about it. If you're going to be awake, think of other people, not yourself.
Oh. I have never Christmas shopped in May before.
There you go. Oh, and then it'll make you happier because you love buying for other people.
That is a genius idea.
You're welcome.
Oh, then I'm going to need to buy a whole new room in my house to store all that stuff until Christmas.
And keep track of it because I know you'll buy it like in May and then be like, oh, I have to get this for them too.
And then I forgot. Anyway, so yeah, so all time
Christmas
low.
Will come. You'll be driving around in a U-Haul and not your Audi.
In my own truck delivering gifts.
Yeah, with a big wreath on the front grill. Yeah,
or maybe you'll be driving around in that Winnebago, that 1978 Winnebago that I saw on my Facebook page. Yes.
I'm telling you, the fact that we had this conversation is going to change you're going to get stuff now because we talked about it and they are listening. And I'm not one of those conspiracy theorists. I just tried to combine that into one word.
My husband buys a fair amount of wine online, like from, I think there's WTSO or there's a couple, Vinvivo or something like that. I don't know. And then we'll be listening to Pandora and we'll get like addiction recovery ads.
You did that. Oh, you won't believe it. I just got to tell you this before we break for our guest. You are not going to believe it. So one of the things last night in my 3 a.m. shopping stupor was, and they're so cheap, like this ring was one of them too. They sell these cheap pieces of jewelry on Facebook that are supposed to mean something. This is how you know that I was delirious. I bought a forgiveness ring.
For yourself?
For myself.
Did you have a glass of wine before bed?
No, I'm not drinking all that much because I'm on my weight loss journey.
So basically, subconsciously, you told yourself that what you were doing was wrong and bad, and you were forgiving yourself.
Oh, oh, we're going to have to ask the psychoanalyst.
Yeah, we'll have to ask her if that comes into play. But of course, that means it's a never ending cycle. I mean, you're still yeah. doing what you shouldn't be doing, but you're forgiving yeah. yourself for it at the same time.
And when I get my ring and I wear it, I could be staring at the forgiveness ring while
you're continuing to do what you do. Yes,
at 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, this is bad, people. This is bad.
I don't know why I have this repeating vision of, what do you call those, like indigenous tribes will like shoot poison darts through a tube. You know what I'm talking about?
A blow dart. A blow gun.
Okay.
Yes.
I just have visions of you like spitting this forgiveness ring into somebody's forehead.
Never gonna happen, maybe. Flinging it against a table like, ping!
I forgive you.
I forgive you. Now die.
End up with a dent in their eyebrow.
Oh, gosh.
All right.
Yeah, bad. All right. So, speaking of people who need psychotherapy,
you should talk to somebody.
That was the best ago ever.
It was. And that's the name of the book. Maybe you should talk to somebody. Imagine buying that. And she even jokes about it. As a gift for someone?
Oh, my God. That'd be hilarious.
I'd be so insulted. Like, it's a great book, but
it
if
is.
Someone bought you a book that said, maybe you should talk to somebody, I'd be like, but maybe you should talk to somebody.
And you know what would be funny is if you bought that book for somebody, but you also bought a miniature couch.
Oh.
And you presented the book on the miniature couch.
Mm. The really funny thing for me is I have said that very phrase to numerous people in my life. Like, not maybe you should talk to somebody, but you need to talk to somebody. So we're very much looking forward to talking to psychotherapist and New York Times bestselling author Lori Gottlieb, who is the author of, as we just mentioned, Maybe You Should Talk to Somebody, which is also being adapted to a television series. And she is going to chat with us all about her new book. I also want to squeeze her for information on the TV series that she's got coming up when we come back from this very quick break.
All right. That sounds good. That is our guest that's on the way. This is Jonna and Carol and myself, and you're listening to Happy Hour. Stick with us.
This is 92.9 WBPM. Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself. And it is time to get to our guest. And Jonna, I think she could help.
I am really excited. You know, sometimes the universe just knows what you need. And that's
so does Neiman Marcus.
Right, exactly. So on the line with us, we have psychotherapist and New York Times best-selling author
and
Lori,
my new best friend,
and Carol's second new best friend, because I don't think she's going to knock me off my perch as your first.
Well,
BFF.
You're not my new.
Oh, that's true.
You're
I'm your old BFF. All right, she can be your new BFF. And Lori Gottlieb, she has written a book called "Maybe You Should Talk to Someone."
Love the title.
Which, but you guys, I can't wait till we get into like the content of this book, because you're going to be like, well, okay, so what's so fantastic about it? And it's a book about a psychotherapist who needs some therapy of her own and introduces us to some of her own clients, and she's just real and funny and on the line with us. Lori Gottlieb, thank you for being a guest on our show.
Well, thank you for having me.
And she's kind of a big deal. Look at, she's been on Today's Show. Am I seeing your notes right?
Yeah. So let me tell you a little bit about Lori. She's, as we mentioned, she's a New York Times bestselling author. Her newest book is Maybe You Should Talk to Somebody, which is being adapted as a television series with who? Eva Longoria, one of my all-time favorite really,
she's gorgeous.
Yeah. In addition to her clinical practice, she actually walks the walk. She writes the Atlantic Weekly's Dear Therapist Advice column and contributes regularly to the New York Times. She's appeared in media such as the Today Show, that you might have heard of it, Good Morning America, and maybe the CBS Early Show, CNN, and NPR's Fresh Air. You can learn more about her, and we'll say this again at the end of our interview, at LoriGottlieb.com. So, Lori, I have to ask you, like, this was something else. When I was doing my research on your book, I'm like, okay, so a psychotherapist writes a book. What's the big deal? But this kind of is a big deal, and it's getting a lot of buzz. So why don't you tell us a little bit, how did you even What made you decide to write this book? Maybe you should talk to somebody, someone.
Well, actually, it wasn't even the book I was supposed to be writing. I was supposed to be writing a book about happiness, and the happiness book was making me miserable. It was depressing me. I'm not kidding. It really was. Because I was starting out as a new therapist at that time, and I felt like the happiness book just couldn't capture the real lives of, you know, the nuances of what I was seeing in the room. And I also felt like happiness is sort of beside the point in the sense that happiness as a byproduct of living your life in a certain way is great, but happiness as an end goal is a recipe for a disaster. And so I wanted to bring people into the therapy room, and that's what I do in Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. So I follow the lives of these four patients, but there's a fifth patient, and the fifth patient is me because I was going through an upheaval in my own life at the same time.
Isn't that something? Because people, we forget, like, and I'll
that
be honest
you're
with
human.
You. Yeah. We forget that, you know, sometimes, like, I'm a lawyer, for example, we forget that sometimes lawyers need lawyers and therapists need therapists because you're the one, right, that everybody is laying their crap on without ever thinking, well, you know, this person might have some crap of her own, right? Because, and a part of that I'm sure is maybe you don't want your clients to know that you're going through your own crap. So what made you decide to get really real in this book?
Well, I think it's exactly what you said, that I think people don't want to know that we're going through stuff. And apparently, you know, obviously I would never bring this up in the therapy room, but I think it's really important to remember that I always say that my greatest credential is that I'm a card-carrying member of the human race, mm-hmm. that nobody wants to go and talk to a robot. Nobody wants to talk to a brick wall. Right. They want to talk to a real person because our humanity is our greatest tool in helping people. So I felt like it would almost be disingenuous of me to have my patients be so vulnerable in this book, and then for me to kind of be the expert up on high and hide my vulnerability. I felt like it normalizes people's struggles to see that we all go through things.
That's so interesting. So are you, I don't know, like just one morning you woke up and you said, listen, I'm going to write a book and I'm going to bring in some of, like, because that's another tricky part, bringing in some of your actual patients. Right? Like, did you, I mean, have the names been changed to protect the innocent?
Yeah, that's important. So I didn't write about anybody that I was currently seeing because I felt like I couldn't do therapy and then go and write about people. Mm-hmm. And I also, of course, got permission from these people to write about them. And I changed all of the identifying mm-hmm. details, which in this age of the internet, by the way, is harder than you might think.
Oh my goodness.
So, you know, I very much wanted to protect my patients and, you know, and I think that they knew that I was doing this for a reason, which is that I want people to see real life and feel less isolated in their struggles. So many people, it's almost like if something's wrong with your body, you'll go to your doctor and get it checked mm-hmm. out. But if something feels off emotionally, so many times people won't go see someone and they won't get help, or they kind of suffer in silence and they think everyone else is living this fabulous life and they're the only one who's struggling. And I hope that this book helps people to see, you know, how much they are very much like everybody else.
That's a powerful point right there, because there are many, many people who position themselves as experts, or and maybe they are experts in their field or have great advice. And I think more now than ever, Lori, people are presenting themselves as they got it all figured out. Listen to me because I have it all figured out. And I don't think anybody ever has it all figured out. And what you just said is feeling less isolated because you're being real. You have a lot figured out. You got a lot going on. You're very successful. You're brilliant. You're funny. You've written a book. You're a psychoanalyst. A lot going right. And yes, you're still a human being mm-hmm. and you're still real and you still have your struggles. And it doesn't necessarily mean you're failing at life because you struggle sometimes.
Right, right. I mean, I think that's the whole point, is that you want someone who understands what it's like to go through life helping you. You know, and I think that's what people want when they're coming to therapy. One of the things that we do in therapy is we kind of hold up a mirror to people and help them see their blind spots, but we can't see our own blind spots. That's why they're called blind spots, right? So it makes sense that a therapist would need to go to somebody to see her own blind spots too.
I want to say something that's going to make me sound
like a jerk,
a-hole-ish. Yes. But it's just us. We're just talking here.
With our new BFF.
So, yes. So how do you navigate the fine line? And I'm saying this because I am very judgy and oftentimes superficial. But like, for example, if I were going to get my hair done, I want the person who's styling my hair to also have good hair. Like, if I'm getting my hair done and your hair looks like a hot mess, I'm going to say, maybe you're not the best person for this job. But at the same time, I can relate to exactly what you're saying, that, you know, you're a psychotherapist. You got crap, too. How did you navigate that line?
Well, so I think there's a difference between being a hot mess and being just a real person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that in the media, especially when we talk about the TV show, you know, the media portrays therapists as one of two things. They're either this very removed person who says, you know, and like doesn't have any personality, or they're the train wreck, the hot mess. And what I show in this book is that we're neither, right? We're just normal people. So, yeah, you don't want to go to a therapist who's a hot mess. I recommend against that. but I think what the book shows is that, you know, you can go through what I like to call the daily problems of living and not be a hot mess. And it's, how do we grow and change? How do we move forward? You know, all of the questions that my patients were asking about, how do I love and be loved, and what do I do with regret, and what do I do with the things I can't change, and why is it that I know exactly what I need to do to change, but I still can't get myself to do it? Mm. Those are the same questions that I think everybody struggles with, and I did too.
Absolutely. Which reminds me, how did you, like, if anybody could read, like, you sent us some stuff from the case notes of Lori Gottlieb, which was hilarious. How did you choose the people that you felt were worthy enough to be part of this project?
I wanted to choose people who were very different from one another. So you've got this very narcissistic Hollywood producer who's very insulting to me. He says that he's come to me because I'm a nobody, so he knows he won't run into any of his colleagues in the waiting room. He says he doesn't want his wife to know he's in therapy, so he's going to hand me this wad of cash, and he says, like, you know, at the end of the session, and says, you'll be just like my mistress. And, you know, he's very insulting, but his behavior is a way of protecting himself. And we later, you know, he seems really unlikable at the beginning, but as we get to know him, he becomes the most lovable person, I think, in the book. You know, there's a newlywed who comes back from her honeymoon, and she's lovely, and it turns out that, you know, this thing she thought was maybe a sign of pregnancy is actually a sign of cancer, and she asked me if I'll stay with her until she dies, and it's this very, you know, really, really moving and difficult, that life-affirming in a weird way, experience that I have with her. There's a young woman in her 20s who keeps hooking up with the wrong guys, including one from the waiting room, I should add.
And
she thinks that's a step up because she says, well, at least he's in therapy.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's not. But she realized, you know, what are these patterns and why is it so hard for her to find the kind of relationship that she wants? And then we have this woman who's about to turn 70, and she had her adult children are estranged from her, and she's had some marriages that haven't worked out, and she is extremely isolated and alone, and she says, if things don't change in a year by my 70th birthday, I don't want to live anymore. And we see, you know, how much really can change and can't change in the span of a year. But it's remarkable what happens with her. So I wanted to tell those stories because I think people think of therapy as, you know, you listen to people's problems all day and they're just complaining. It's not like that at all. I think there are so many beautiful and heroic and poignant and funny moments that happen in the therapy room, like real life.
It's got to be incredibly, at times, I'm sure, frustrating, but very rewarding when you do help the light go on for somebody to either make that change that they would like, whether that's an internal or external change, or able to see something in a different way that it then affects them less. That's got to be very, very rewarding.
Right. I think, you know, so many people need someone who's not in their own life to help them see something. I talk about in the book the difference between idiot compassion and wise compassion. And idiot compassion is what your friends do. They back you up no matter what. Like, yeah, your boss is a jerk, or yeah, that guy.
I got a couple of idiots I know, but I love them.
Right, because it makes you feel really good in the short term.
Yes.
But But what therapists do is we practice wise compassion, which is we help you to see something about yourself and what you're doing that is getting in your own way. And maybe we don't want to hear it in that moment, but it helps us for the long term.
You know what, though? I have to say, Jonna, you have a little idiot in you, and you have a little wisdom in you, too, because you're somebody who will not always tell me what I want to hear.
Oh, oftentimes I don't tell people what they want to hear.
But I know everything you say to me is coming with the intention of helping me.
I've seen them on your shoulders.
That's true. Yeah, no, I rarely would I say anything just to hurt somebody. In fact, I don't think I would ever do that.
No, oh my gosh. You won't even kill a spider
I won't do that.
Apartment.
I like to call them compassionate truth bombs.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So, and that's kind of how I roll, but... You know, I was wondering, and I kind of have a sense now, but can you tell us what you're allowed to tell us about how the book is being adapted for TV?
Well, I didn't want it to be about kind of the cliches of what a therapist is like that are really inaccurate. So it's a show about... all of our lives, and it happens to center around this person who happens to be a therapist. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessarily about, you know, all of the ways I think that therapists have been portrayed on, you know, on other shows that are outdated. So I hope it's a really modern take on therapy and our lives and really interesting characters.
And that might be a very good thing, Lori. Perhaps that might open up more people to be open about the therapy that they get, or be open to go get therapy, because there's such a stigma. Like, you know, you mentioned it earlier, like if we hurt our arm or we need stitches or something, we go get help.
You go get help, and then you post about it on Facebook. You're like, hey, I just checked into the emergency room.
Yeah. But less so, there's such a often, maybe it's getting better, but a stigma attached to getting help for what mentally or emotionally troubles you, and there shouldn't be. We're human beings trying to find our way, mm-hmm. all of us.
That's right. That's right. And so many people, I think, who have read the book have, you know, gotten in touch with me or tweeted to me on Twitter and said things like, you know, I'm going to go see a therapist now, or,
awesome.
You know, thank you for starting these conversations. And so I hope that in some small way the book opens up that space for people so that they don't feel like, you know, there's stigma around any kind of struggles that they're having.
And speaking of that stigma, because you made me laugh out loud a few times already in the book, your analogy of therapy to pornography. Can you share that? Because I'm like, oh my God, she's so right.
Yeah, well, I think this is around stigma, which is that, you know, I was saying that therapy is like pornography in the sense that, you know, people hide it. There are millions of users. I think 30 million Americans are going to therapy. And, you know, we're also ashamed of it. So, and also that, you know, the numbers are underreported, you know, like people don't really admit it, you know, that they're going to therapy. I think sometimes people admit it in a way of, you know, that, like, I go to yoga, I go to therapy. But I think that people who are struggling in a certain way are really ashamed of the fact that they're struggling, and they don't talk about it. And why not? You know, nobody says, like, I can't tell you that I went to my internist today. You know,
right.
Like, that's not a secret. So Andrew Solomon tells this great story about how he was doing an event, and this couple came up to him, and they each confided to him separately that they were taking antidepressants, which meant that they were hiding the same antidepressant in the same house. They couldn't even, you know, and nobody would do that if it was like reflux medication.
Right.
Nobody would be hiding that.
You'd have it on your bedside table.
Right.
Oh my God, that is a fantastic
analogy.
I
have a feeling, Lori, you're going to do a lot of good with this. You know, I'm loving reading it already, but just, you know, and with the now a show as a result of you and your wisdom and your book, I think really could open up a whole new avenue for people, and I think that's going to be powerful.
It's an amazing approach. It's so different. Is Eva Longoria playing you?
We don't know yet.
You don't know yet? I think we have a strong indication.
And is this going to be a scripted hour?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good.
Must have been exciting, Lori.
That had to be incredible and pretty quickly happened. I mean, the book is new. You must. Yeah, you're working on it at the same time.
It's doing well. We're going on our 6th week on the New York Times bestseller list, and you know, I'm really glad that it's getting this wide reception. I think that people sometimes read it almost like a therapy session. You know, it's like, here's if you don't want to go to therapy, read the book, and it will help you to see things about yourself and about the people in your life too.
Can I just, want to read one little kind of excerpt from the stuff that you sent us, because this just, it did make me laugh out loud, and I just want our listeners to know, like, the tone of this book. So, like, a part of it, and I'm assuming this is in the book, your case notes, right, from the certain people whose identity you've changed. And John is that movie producer that you talk. So you have a portion where this was probably in your actual case file, even though you've changed the information, but it says patient reports feeling, quote, stressed out and states that he's having difficulty sleeping and getting along with his wife, expresses annoyance with others and seeks help, quote, managing the idiots. And then below that is your take on him, and you write, John is an a-hole. And then and that whole tone and tenor takes off from there, and it was so relatable. It's just genius. I really think the whole tenor of the book.
Yeah, and the thing again about him is that he goes from someone who seems like an a-hole to someone who becomes a really, really, you know, lovely person that you know, people fall in love with him in the course of the book, as I did as a therapist. I don't mean fall in love romantically. I mean, you know, they develop a deep affection for him and what he's been through.
And let's not forget the salient point there is, because of your skills as a therapist, I think those things are able to be culled from somebody. And this is a cross-section of the people that you work with. So it really kind of speaks to your acumen and your skill and your ability, as well as you're just a really great writer on top of it.
Yeah, Lori, so just one quick question before we go. Someone's listening right now. Is there anything, a key point about the message and what you stand for, or specifically from your book, that you would want them to know that we've not already covered?
I think two things. One is that we're more the same than we are different. And so even though these people that I described might seem different from, you know, any given reader, I think that everybody will see aspects of themselves in these people and see themselves more clearly as a result. And the other point is, I think that we grow in connection with others, that, you know, we don't get enough of that sometimes in our daily lives now. It is all about sort of, you know, you can like your friend's post on Facebook, but, you know, when are you actually going to sit down and really hear each other and listen to each other? And it's so important for our mental health.
I love
connecting.
It.
Love it.
Yes, that I absolutely love it. So if anybody wants to get the book, I mean, it is on the New York Times bestseller. All you have to do is, you know, Google or Amazon it.
And if you're just tuning in, it's called Maybe You Should Talk to Somebody by Lori Gottlieb.
Lori Gottlieb.
Or,
and they
somebody
can,
or someone.
Maybe you should talk to someone.
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 And Lori, people can connect with you at your website, LoriGottlieb.com, or on Twitter at LoriGottlieb1, the number
That's
one.
That's right. Yes.
Awesome. Well, we can't wait for the show to come out. Also, one little bone I have to pick with you. I did not find the audio version of this book yet. Did I?
Oh, there is. Go on Amazon, and it's an Audible version, and you can get it through Audible, or you can get it from the Amazon site as
you
well.
You just made her day, Lori.
You did.
Yeah.
And Lori, don't ask.
Please.
It is a long story as to why Jonna won't actually break out a physical book to read the damn thing.
We won't bore you with it.
Yeah, we won't tell you about eyelashes and glasses and smears
hairspray
and all that kind of crap. So
anyway, so good. So I'm going to get that before we leave the studio today. It has been a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much, Lori Gottlieb.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Yes, thanks, Lori. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol, and we will be back. Segment number 3 is on the way, so stick with us.
You're listening to 92.9 WBPM. Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
And it's Happy Hour here with Jonna Spillbore, Carol Pesci, and myself. Good morning, ladies.
Hello.
What?
See, whoa, I threw you off. I threw you off.
Wait, back it off.
Wait,
what?
Do it again.
What did I miss?
Hello, said, ladies.
That's, he did it wrong. Tried. All right, we're starting over.
Okay.
But I was so Pavlovian, I was just going to say hello, Frankenberry.
Yeah, you do.
And I wasn't.
You do have a little spittle right there.
Where?
She spit on her bottom lip?
Yeah, the Pavlovian thing. It's a little
still rolling.
Yeah, okay. All right. This is Happy Hour with Jonna Spillbore and Carol Pesci.
Now I'm mad.
Hello, ladies.
Nope.
Oh, come on. on.
Take three.
Do it again.
Wait, let me get a little more spit on my bottom lip.
Okay, there you go. Very nice. Okay. Well, we're going to welcome you back to Happy Hour yet again here on K104 with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
All right. So let's hope that Lori listens to that opening here.
She's going to offer us free therapy.
Exactly.
She should put them on the list. Not again.
Yeah, she's going to shoot you an email that says, about the beginning of that third segment, let's talk.
This is so cool. I'm so mad because I looked for the audio version of the book that we just got done talking about. Maybe you should talk to someone. Didn't see it, but as Carol pointed out, perhaps I was looking for it at 3 o'clock in the morning in between my shopping.
Your
for
shopping stupid.
Well, apparently the new Neiman Marcus purse was more top of mind than finding the actual audiobook. Though you never know. You could somehow have ordered the audiobook and it's going to come inside the Neiman Marcus purse.
Oh, maybe. That could be it. And plus, I know what happened. Like, these stupid things, I don't know if it happens to you lately, maybe because I spend so much time buying stuff from my phone. Every time I do something, I try to buy something or log into Kindle or log into my Audible account, whatever, it'll say, as if it's never met me before, oh, we don't recognize this device. We're going to send you a text to your phone, and then you got to plug it in.
I hate that.
And I'm like, you know what? Mm-hmm. This is not Fort Knox. This is my Kindle account. Well, how much damage could somebody do, even if they broke in? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
depends.
What are you gonna
me,
do?
I could do a lot of damage.
So, but
what are you
going
to do?
Going
to change words of some of the books she's got in there?
Right. Just buy a lot of books.
You just bought a $6.99 book. Like, okay, you don't have to lock me up like Fort Knox, and then the stupid captcha thing where plug in these things.
Oh, where do you not see a traffic light?
Yeah. Oh God, it drives
me
nuts.
Where do you see a bus? Press on the squares.
Press all the signs with billboards.
What is that? I've never seen
this
that.
This is to authenticate that you're a real person and not a robot.
Not a robot. All right. I've seen like robot screens where it just asks you to check a box that says you're not a robot.
I know.
But I've never seen anything asking you,
to
identify a bus.
Or the upside down sideways letters with the waves going
through
them.
Oh, I've seen those. Yes, I've seen those.
Now, you should be able to, you know what? You should be able to, when you log on to these things, go, listen, I'm playing fast and loose with my credit and my identity. Don't ask me if I'm not a robot. Just go. Just let me go.
I'll deal with
it later.
And why do you even have the little remember me box if every time I come back, you're telling me to log in
me.
Again?
Right.
But the thing that bothers me the most, I want to look at some places and say, no. Okay? Don't tell me what my password has to have, okay? My password needs to be something that I can remember. And when you're telling me that it has to have a capital letter, a small letter, a number, it has to have some sort of...
It can't be one you've used in the last 20 years.
That's right, and it has to have some sort of either exclamation point or a period or a star or a pound sign. I would love to just call somebody and say, no. You are not allowed to dictate what my password... If I want my password to be 123, it's 123.
But that's like... Remember a few weeks ago, Carol told us the story. We're going to talk about her like she's not in the room.
Okay.
When she was trying to break into her mortgage account.
I'll stop you if I
need to. Remember, she needed to get mortgage information, but the mortgage online account was only in Craig's name, so they wouldn't talk to you. Remember? And you were trying to get the password to get in?
Yeah, and I was...
They're like, we can't talk to
fresh.
You. Yeah. Yeah, you were. A rare day.
Oh, very rare. That's why I talked about it.
A rare day. I didn't set the timer. So anyway, yeah. So, but that's probably what happened. I remember struggling. I was looking for the audiobook and then Audible and then this one and wanted me to authenticate. And I kept doing it. I kept plugging in those weird sideways letters and numbers. It's like, You didn't do it right.
And the funniest thing is when you do that sometimes and you keep typing it in and then you start yelling at the computer or yelling at the phone. It's like... No, I'm doing it right.
Oh.
And then eventually you realize that you were indeed doing it wrong and the computer is just a computer and you're an idiot. But and then you just drop it.
I did scream. I did do all of those things that you just described. But if you're a cyber professional, please be mindful of people like us who just don't care if we get hacked a little bit.
Be careful what you're saying.
Are you kidding?
I'm serious.
If somebody hacked me with the intentions of stealing my identity and they saw what I actually have, they would feel bad enough for me to send me hugs and a 5 spot in the mail. Okay? They might even change their ways and no longer do it.
That, see, you just flipped the script.
I did. I've turned hackers into humanitarians with my sad bank account and other information.
You are what we call in my profession judgment proof. And sometimes that's not a bad place to be.
Yeah, so like if somebody called you and wanted to sue him, you'd be like, yeah, no.
I don't care what he did. It's not going to work for you.
That is too funny. So anyway, so now I have something to look forward to. I'm going to get the audio version of Maybe You Should Talk to Someone as soon as we get... Because I am telling you, when I was doing my research, I'm like, how is this book going to be interesting? And the format is genius. It absolutely is genius.
It is, because she's very, very intelligent. She knows her stuff when it comes to being a psychoanalyst. And yet you connect with her because it's not just a psychoanalyst talking about psychotherapy and what she knows and how she helped the person, which can be helpful.
Yeah.
She gets you more in it. Like, you feel connected to her because she's very real with it.
And very relatable.
Yeah.
It's almost like when... We were talking in the interview. I had a vision of, you guys probably don't watch this show, but I love it. But it's a long time in between seasons. It's called Better Call Saul. It's a takeoff on the whole Breaking Bad.
Right, right.
It's the prequel, I guess, to Breaking Bad. Anyway, Saul is a lawyer, and he's a smart and funny and like down-to-earth genius kind of lawyer. But he drives this old beat-up jalopy, and he's always trying to like pull a scam, and you know, and... But, you know, and I don't know why, when we were talking about how, you know, people, therapists sometimes need therapy.
Right.
It was like that came to mind.
Well, when her show comes out, all I can hope for, and I didn't mention this to her, but let's just hope it doesn't have a Jack Russell in it.
Why?
I was kidding.
Oh.
Frasier. My bad.
Oh, and I was trying to think of his name the whole time we were talking to her. And I was, because she said, I, you know, she's not a traditional therapist.
Right, she doesn't want to be the stereotypical TV therapist.
Yes. I predict Eva Longoria is going to play her. She just couldn't say it.
Of course. Yeah.
That would be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Yes, yeah. I think that would be fantastic.
I wonder what Dick Cheney thought about Christian Bale playing him. Like, you know, you always wonder, what do actual people in the world think about the fact that they've seen a movie where somebody is playing them?
Okay, so before we go, real quick, because we don't have a lot of time.
Who would play you?
Sandra Bullock.
Would play you?
Mm-hmm.
I could
love
see
it.
That.
Love it. Who would play you?
No idea in the world. Never thought about it.
Who would play you?
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Especially with your old Sex and the City big fandom.
Big fandom.
Oh yeah, huge fandom. So
wait, I'd rather have. I want Sandra Bullock to play me too.
All right, that's going to close things up for us.
I called her
just to give you guys a bit of good before we leave.
Okay.
Something to look forward to this summer. How about s'mores Oreos, latte thin Oreos, marshmallow moon Oreos,
mint
chocolate chip Oreos, maple cream Oreos. All of those are coming out sometime this summer.
I like traditional
marshmallow. Yeah. Don't you guys like marshmallow?
The marshmallow moon Oreos are the only ones that confuse me, because the cream is going to be purple, and it's in honor of the 50th anniversary, but I don't know why it's going to be purple.
Cosmic
purple?
Yeah.
Is that it? It's a okay.
Kind of uniform-y.
Well, anyway, for Oreos fans, there you go. There's some new ones coming out. So this has been Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol, and a fantastic guest. Thank you very much, too, Lori, for joining us here today. And we'll be back again next week, same time as always, 8 o'clock right here on 92.9 WBPM. Make sure you've got us tuned in. Ladies, have a good week. And everybody else out there, do the same.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 92.9WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.